the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
You put yourself in stupid places. Yes, I think you know it's
888-808-1019. Pete off with you on the fan till 5 when Richard Neer takes over. You can always follow me at Hoff WFAN on social media. And the New York Giants final game is tomorrow, thank goodness. I think everybody in New York that roots for the Giants, that roots for the Jets, are just happy that the football season is finally coming to an end. The final game of the season, it's in Philadelphia. You know, there's the revenge game. Well, not revenge game, but there's just the fact that there's a rival. You don't really want to lose to a rival. And John Mara actually came out and said that they don't want to, he doesn't want to tank. He doesn't want to tell his players not to go out there and win. You know, it's their rival. They want to go out there and beat them no matter what. And I got to be honest with you, I love that. I love that mentality of going out there and win no matter what, because I can't deal with losing, and nor should the fans. The fans should, and I know that it's going to impact the draft, but I got to be honest with you. I'm not very excited about this draft anyway. Like, last year's was different. Last year's, there was a lot of quarterbacks available. I know that they were interested in Drake May, the whole Caleb Williams. Everything was, you know, there's quarterbacks available, and they were trying to make moves for quarterbacks, and it didn't work out. But this year, I'm not as interested. You know, I'm not really sure where the Giants should go as far as, you know, defense, cornerback would be helpful. You know, secondary would be helpful. That's a position, part of the defense that definitely could use some help. Offensively, obviously, you could always try to build that offensive line. Those aren't sexy picks. They're just not. But I don't need to go. And I know last week I was like, oh, I was settling on Shedeur Sanders. I'd take it because I heard that Deion Sanders was going to get an extension with Colorado. So I felt better that Shedeur, if he comes here, it's not going to be as much of a circus because Deion's not coming with him. But then the bowl game came around, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't want Shedeur Sanders. Maybe I don't want Cam Ward. Even though Cam Ward did play well, it just, you know, the fact that he pulled himself, whatever the case is, after that first half, and then Miami, you know, basically tanked from there. Talk about tanking. You know, I want the Giants to go out and win. And last week's win was so good for that locker room, for the team, for Brian Daboll, for Joe Shane, for Mara. I mean, listen, I know that that's only the third win of the season, and it means absolutely nothing except for the fact that it's now taken them out of the running for a top draft pick, but it's a culture change. That's part of it, is to have guys that are going out there and fighting for it. Look at all the guys that have been hurt this season. Look at the guys, and I'm not saying that Dexter Lawrence isn't really hurt. He really is. He got hurt bad, his elbow, and he's been on IR since then. Okereke's out. Obviously, Daniel Jones got traded away. Offense has been, you know, besides Andrew Thomas, offense has been pretty much intact. Theo Johnson's been out. But there's so many guys defensively who've been hurt and haven't been there. But then you got a guy like Brian Burns who's been out there every game. And just, he's going to finish the season strong. He's not going to sit one out. And I love that mentality. I love that attitude. I love that leadership. So I want to see those type of leaders out there. And on the final game of the season, go out there and win. Go out there and beat Philadelphia. I know it might not mean anything in the standings, but go out there and do it. You know, give the fans something to cheer about. Because I got to tell you something. Last week at MetLife, I know it was half empty, but the people that were there were on their feet the entire game. They were ecstatic. Every touchdown pass, they were into it, man. They really were. And That's why you don't lose games on purpose. That's why, first of all, you don't lose games on purpose or try to tank because, you know, the moment you tell players to, hey, take it easy, they get hurt. And then that's the one thing you can't do. Can't take it easy. Football's a physical game. You take it easy, you take a play off, you're gonna get, you know, seriously injured. It's not worth it. But then on top of that, it's like, you know, go out there and try to find a way to win. How about this? Go out there and embarrass, you know, if Philadelphia is going to sit their players, go out and embarrass Philadelphia. You put up a 45 spot against the Colts. Hey, if their backups, if the Eagles backups are going to be there, go put up 45 against them. Screw it. Go get to their backup quarterback. You know, it is important for the Giants to continue or find a way to build a culture, a positive culture. This was a very rough season. No one's going to say it wasn't. But if they can get through this, if they can figure out how to get through the worst season in the 100 years of the New York Giants, then they could definitely bounce back next year. And I have faith in Shane, especially if you look at the drafting from this year. It was so good. There was. I don't think there was any misses. I really don't. The values were great. Neighbors, you can say what you want about him. Is he a team player? Is he speaking a little bit too much out of turn? Yeah, you can question all that stuff, but it doesn't make a difference. On the field, he's got a lot of skill. Theo Johnson, I think, is going to be a really good, really big threat offensively. You know, obviously, Tyrone Tracy, huge find. Newbin, huge find. Drew Phillips. So in the secondary, that's somebody you need to find. And they came. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll did a good job drafting. And listen, you want to sit there and say that they should have tried to trade up. They tried, didn't work out. But this is important for the Giants tomorrow to go out and win, and for Shane and Daboll to get another opportunity. And maybe it's not to draft a quarterback. Maybe it's just to bring somebody else in there. Like, listen, Drew Lock was the backup to Daniel Jones. No one expected Drew Lock to go out there and light the world on fire, but you give him a few games, he finally figures it out, gets in a rhythm. You know, maybe there is something with Brian Daboll. But let's start with tomorrow. Let's end on a good note for the Giants. And again, I feel like there's a lot more positivity, even though the Jets and Giants are both terrible this year, and the records may be identical at the end of the season. I look at the Giants and say, there's much more upside. I know what's going on there. I know I could trust the owner. I know that the GM is in control. I don't know that with the Jets. I know nothing about that with the Jets. I don't know who's in control. I can take a guess. I don't want to guess, but 888-808-1019. It's the number to call. Again, Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app, because at 12:15, I declared, I have quit the Jets. I've officially quit being a Jet fan. I'm over. They're done. They're not worth my time. So if you missed that, go to about 12:15 on the Odyssey app, hit the rewind button, and go find it out. 888-808-1019. Let's go to PK in Long Island. Wants to talk about the Knicks. What's up, PK?
Yeah, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Man, I'm tired of these Knicks, bro.
They won 9 in a row up until yesterday.
Big game against the Thunder. We gave up, bro. It's kids, bro. Why are our starters playing 40-plus minutes every game? They get gassed by the fourth quarter.
Yes, they do. That's exactly the problem. And I know Mitchell Robinson will help when he gets there, but I still don't even know how long he's going to play, because he's bound to get injured before, you know, within the first couple games. They, you know, again, Isaiah Hartenstein would have been a huge piece to the puzzle this year. They need to get another bench piece. They really do.
The thing is, man, we're not even playing our best. The thing is, like, Cat is he's holding down the five. Is really listen. I love Jalen Brunson. I got nothing but love.
22 rebounds by Cat today, which is awesome.
It's like Jalen Brunson did 9 for 23 last night, 0 for 5 from three. I feel like if you're the captain, man, like if you know it's today's not your night, you gotta let Tibbs know because I mean we had like our rookie. I forgot his. I don't know how to say his name. Kolek. He's pretty good in the G League, and he was decent, like solid when he came up in his first like game in the league. You got to play some of your bench players. We have like what? I think it was Shamet played 14 minutes, Payne played 8 minutes, Achiuwa played 8 minutes. Like nobody else off the bench was playing. Yeah. I feel like we got to sub. Like if it's not their night, because Anobi was good, he shot good, Bridges shot good, Towns shot good, Hart shot good. If it's not Brunson's night, you got to like try switching them out with other players.
Well, but this is why OKC's tough, by the way. They have a more youthful roster. They continue that intensity the entire game. It's four quarters for them. It's not three quarters. It's a four-quarter game, and they just put the pressure on constantly. I mean, it was a great game to watch. I know that the result wasn't great, but it was because it wasn't just the typical, let's go set up, open three, okay, I'm going to shoot a three here, and then, you know, get a rebound, three, blah, blah, blah. No, dude, they were posting up. Everyone was driving to the hold, to the basket, and it was just fun to watch. You know, it was a little physical, too, but it was a good, fun back-and-forth game until the fourth quarter, and then that was just, you know, Thunder just took over.
Yeah, I got you. I got a quick question, man. What do you think is, like, a good, like, to be honest, man, I don't really look at teams other than the Knicks. So, like, what do you think is, like, a good trade piece for us before the trade deadline?
Not Jimmy Butler, I'll tell you that much. I don't want any part of him. What is a good trade piece? I'm going to have to do some research on that because I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea. I have no idea who's on the market right now. I have no idea who's looking to move players, what teams are looking to move players. Again, you got to remember the cap space, too. That's why I was making a point, like, you know, Hartenstein would be very good piece to this puzzle, but, you know, they just didn't have space for it with the salary cap. So I'll do some research on that, but I'm not going to lie to you on that. I definitely don't know. But, PK, good phone call. Again, I think you're right. It's tough to see, you know, your top five playing 40-plus minutes every single night and a team that's youthful like OKC, you need to have somebody else available off the bench to play and keep the pace with the Thunder. But Knicks played a good game, just weren't ready right there. 888-808-1019, let's get to Sam in Westchester. Sam, what's up?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. What's up with you?
Question about Shane. First two drafts were terrible. This last draft was good. But what I disagree with you on, as good as Malik Nabers is, they should have gone for a quarterback in that first round, drafting number 6.
Who would you have taken, first of all?
Bo Nix.
You know what? Here's the thing, first of all, and this is where I don't disagree with you that the first two drafts were pretty bad for Shane, but tell me which, you know, top draft, analyst said that Evan Neal and Kayvon weren't locks, weren't studs, weren't great picks. Like, I got to go look at the draft ranking from 2022 and see what people said. But like, all they got a ton of praise for those two can't-miss picks. And they kind of, it's not the case.
They missed. Thibodeau is going to just be an average, decent player. But for number 5, he is not a superstar.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But what was your point, though? You said that you were missing. They should have gone a quarterback over Malik Nabers.
This draft was good.
But Bo Nix wasn't high. I mean, Bo Nix was what? Bo Nix got drafted after J.J. McCarthy. And I think J.J. McCarthy is not going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I'm just being honest. I don't see much. I don't see J.J. McCarthy being a successful quarterback. Maybe he turned into a backup, but that's about it. And Bo Nix went after him.
It gets to be a crapshoot, but they needed a quarterback desperately.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, too. And Sam, and I understand your point about it, and thank you so much for a phone call. I appreciate it. When you have Daniel Jones, when you have a GM, an owner, and Mara, who basically went on record when these two guys, Shane and Dable, came in and basically said, we never gave Daniel Jones a real opportunity. We didn't give him a real chance. I want to give the best opportunity to Daniel Jones to give him a chance to win here. And they did. So that's part of the problem. Last year, he was hurt. So you're kind of in a limbo area. You're right. They could have drafted a quarterback. But did they have to draft him so high? That, to me, I don't think they needed to draft him high. You could have drafted someone lower. They chose not to. But now you're in a similar situation anyway. And same thing next year. It could be the same thing. You don't have to draft a quarterback because everyone says you have to. That's my biggest problem is in these drafts, everyone's like, you have to get a quarterback. You have to get a quarterback. Because every time, you may find the one. But there's not many the ones. There's a lot of misses in between those ones. And a lot of people lose their job because they try to draft the one. But you got to just put like it all in perspective. If it's a poor draft class and you're drafting a quarterback and it doesn't hit and it reflects on the coaching and the GM that they went and didn't get the right guy, well, they were never going to get the right guy. Because in a year like this year coming up, Sanders and Ward, they're not as highly touted as some other quarterbacks. And it just feels like you're going to risk your job on a couple quarterbacks that aren't even close to franchise quarterbacks. I keep on hearing things about Sanders that, he wouldn't even be taken in the first like two or three rounds. But yet he's going to go number one? Like, what are we talking about here? It's just confusing that you have to do that because once you find your quarterback, you're set. But you could be the Cleveland Browns and look every freaking year for quarterback and continue to miss. By the way, I'm just watching this. The Duke's Mayo Bowl? Ugh. Nothing against Duke's Mayo, but the fact that people are just doubting at the way they're doing, it's giving me odds right now. 888-808-1019. Brian, Val, we'll get to you. We're talking Knicks, Pete Alonso, Jets, Giants, final games of the season coming up tomorrow. We got a lot to get to. Coming up also in a little bit, the pull of the year. Are you a hobby person? Are you a collector? Did someone unexpectedly get the pull of the year? No, it's not Paul Skeens, but maybe close to it. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. On the Fan Till 5. Hit me up at Hoff WFAN on social media. Always follow me there on X, on Insta, on the TikTok. I think those are the three I had. You know what? I asked my youngest, or my oldest, I should say, what other social media platforms I'm missing out on because I'm trying to be cool again. I'm not sure if it's working at all, but I'm trying. And did you ever hear of, I think it's called Reels? Or Reel, or something like that. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
So it's like a sports thing, though. It's like, it's basically you can follow every game, you can go check it. And I haven't really checked it out, done the research, but he was showing me when we were watching some of the college bowl games. And he was like, dude, yeah, you can go and, like, after every touchdown or whatever, people react to this comment. And it's like a social media for sports.
I have heard of that, yes.
It looks cool. I don't know if I can get into it, but it looks, he, for being a kid like him, like, he was, like, locked in.
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard of it. I don't have one. I'm not, same thing. I'm not the biggest social media guy in the world, but, yeah, no, I've heard of people. You know, it seems pretty cool because, like, you interact with people, like, reacting to the games. Like, oh my, like, you know, everyone's watching the
right,
same
exactly,
thing.
So
it's very social and it's very, like, interactive, like, you know, reacting to a highlight right away.
Fans find fans and they, you know, become friends and all that other good stuff. And then you go to a, you know, a game and then put each other through, like, tables in Buffalo. Right? Yeah. That's what you do, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I am trying to keep up with the social media. Facebook, I mean, I have one, but I don't really use it at all.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure if there's anything else. Like, the Snapchat's the other thing, but I don't think you could do, I don't think Snapchat is used as a social media tool. Like, it's just a way for him to text, I guess, his friends in a very private way, I guess. I don't know.
Snapchat can be kind of cool. Like, if you have a lot of followers and stuff, like, if you post, like, on your story, like, if you wanted to, like, post, and you could do it on Instagram, too, and X and all that stuff. Like, be like, oh, I'm going to be on tonight from midnight to 5. You can post a story, and if you have, like, all this, like, a public story, people can, like, tune in that way. Like, if you want to, like, tell people you were, like, on or something, you could do it that way, too. But I think Twitter and X are, like, a much more, like, more people are, like, checking that out than really Snapchat.
Yeah, Snapchat's more, like, private, right?
You can make a private story. You can do that. Other times you can make a public story as well.
But, I
get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. You can do that. It's not as popular to do that as of, like, if you went on X or
Instagram. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay away from the Snapchat. I'm going to leave that for the kids. I'm gonna say Snapchat, that's for the kids. We're gonna leave that with the kids. I'll take the TikTok. I'll take the Insta.
The TikTok.
I'll take all that stuff. But the Snapchat's the kids. They'll leave it there. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Brian in Brooklyn. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Pete. You have to get over this Pete Alonso, because he's not that good, and you want to give him $200 million.
He's the worst player in history of
baseball. I'm not saying that.
He's no good. He does nothing. Well whatsoever.
Is he a $200 million player? Come on, man! You're ruining the sport.
I'm ruining the sport. The sport.
If you're going to give a guy like that $200 million, what are you going to give Guerrero? $1 billion?
First of all, Juan Soto just made $765 million. And honestly, when you break it down, and I'm not trying to sit here and say Juan Soto's a bad player at all. I'm not. But what is he? He may be a glorified DH in a few years. That might be what Juan Soto is. Maybe he turns into a first baseman. He's not a great right fielder. He's defensively, his skills are not elite. He's got a good arm. He doesn't cover ground very well in outfield. His range is not well. His speed's not well. I mean, we've gone through this before. So if we're going to pay Juan Soto $765 million to be a 280 hitter, you know, a guy who walks a lot, gets on base, but then we're going to have a guy who potentially could drive him in how many times in a season? And all he's got to do is hit a home run. You know, it's not all about the home runs, because remember this, in his career, he's had multiple years. I'm trying to remember how many exactly they are now because I don't remember. My brain isn't all that fantastic. But he's had 120 RBIs in 2019. He had 131, which led the league, of RBIs in 2022. In 2023, he had 118 RBIs. So he had three seasons of 115-plus RBIs or more. Okay, so he drives and runs. That's part of his job, is to drive and runs. Last year, he didn't do it so well. And trust me, I'm upset about that. He had a bad season. But for the most part, he drives and runs. If you put batters on in front of him, he should drive them in. Juan Soto gets on base. That's like a double. That's a great combo. It's a great 1-2 punch. Juan Soto gets on, Pete Alonso drives him in.
Okay, so let me. So how come no team in all these teams in baseball all wanted Soto at that crazy price, and nobody wants Pete Alonso at $200 million, not even $150 million? There's a reason why no teams want him. Don't you understand?
I struck out 170 times. I do understand.
He hit 180 with men in scoring position after the seventh inning. People look at these things.
I understand.
That's how you get the money.
But he's
not that good.
Well, you make him sound like he's, you know, Ike Davis, who had like a flash in the pan.
Goldschmidt got $12 million. How does this guy get $200 million? Are you kidding me?
Goldschmidt had the worst season of his career. His numbers completely fell. Everyone's telling me that Pete Alonso's numbers dropped off completely. And I got to tell you, yeah, they've dipped from 2022. I'm not going to sit there and deny that. But his batting average went up from the year before. His OPS, yes, went down a little bit. But it went from 821 to 788. Do you want to know Goldschmidt? Goldschmidt went from 981 to 810, which is more than that, which is 150 points OPS, to 716. So he dropped over 250 points on his OPS from his MVP season. But you're sitting here and saying Goldschmidt got 12.5. Yeah, he got 12.5 because he's washed. He completely fell off. He has fallen off. His numbers completely have been diminished over the past, after his MVP season.
But you cannot give Pete Alonso $200 million.
Why not? Does it make a difference to you? Is it going to hurt you in the long run?
It's not good for the game.
Why is it not good for the game? Why does it make a difference?
$200 million.
Brian, are you a Mets fan?
I'm a big Mets.
Okay, so just imagine this. They bring back Pete Alonso. It could be for 3 years, $90 million, or 6 years, $180 million. Doesn't make a difference to me. But they win a World Series.
But nobody's going to give them $9 million.
Who cares? My point is this. Is Pete Alonso valuable to the Mets, yes or no?
Not if he can get a Guerrero. I don't think so.
Guerrero's not coming this year. Why are we taking a pass for next year?
I am not a Pete Alonso fan, so I'm
when's
not.
The last, hey, Pete, maybe Brian, what, when's the last time the Mets have won a World Series?
86.
Right. And how old were you then?
20.
Okay. I was 4. I don't know what that feels like. I need to see a championship. And to
but
me,
Pete Alonso's not going to bring you a championship. I'm telling you, he's not.
He's going to help. He just helped you get to the NLDS and the NLCS this year. No? Am I wrong?
You're going to give a guy $200 million because he had one good swing?
No, I'm not. I'm going to do that because he's... Here's the other part of Pete Alonso that people keep on missing. And Brian, thank you so much for the phone call. I'm also bringing up the historic side of it. We're talking about Steve Cohen, who is legitimately focusing on the history of the Mets. He's retiring numbers every single year. He's trying to bring a history to this franchise. He's trying to make it bigger than life. You have the potentially the next home run leader of the New York Mets in front of you in Pete Alonso. One more season, he should break the record for most home runs ever as a New York Met. He could probably hit 500 home runs in a New York Met uniform. You're telling me that means nothing? You're telling me that means squat? Dude, I'd give him 8 or 9 years to be like, dude, go out and do it. Break some records for us. Put us on the map. Make our history relevant. When you have a home run hitter in Darryl Strawberry who leads the team in home runs at 252, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Look up and down the stats. The history of the Mets is embarrassing. Pete Alonso will break records and just totally break and destroy the leaders of the Mets. And I'm not saying that that should be the reason why you give him $200 million, but I'm saying he'll do that while the team is winning. And, hey, winning maybe a championship here or there, get to the playoffs every year, break some records, on you know, become a leader, become a, you know, go down in Mets history as being the best home run hitter in on the team, in franchise history. You know, it's all good stuff. It's all, every time he hits a home run, it's going to be money in everyone's pockets. So what's the difference with $200 million or $90 million? What, it doesn't make a difference. You just paid Juan Soto $765 million. Like, what are we talking about? It shouldn't be that big of a deal. Pete Alonso should be a New York Met. End of story. However that happens, I don't care if it's $90 million. I don't care if it's $150. I don't care if it's $200. He should be a New York Met. End of story. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Captain Hoff, good morning, sir. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. What's up?
I got three things I want to talk with you about, but I'm going to get to the first one because it's top of mind with what you were just talking about. I'm a Yankees fan, and you know that, but that Alonso thing, you know, you kind of touched on it, and the call that you were on with kind of touched on it a little bit. But I don't understand how y'all Mets fans seem to think that y'all can take that hard line with him. The dude showed you that he does not perform well when he's playing for his food. That contract year he just went through, the pressure that it wasn't until, like, you know, I guess it got to the postseason or get to the end of the season when he was like, you know what, just forget about it. You know, let's just do whatever. And he just kind of stopped thinking about that.
Right.
But why would he, you know, you got to figure, like, when y'all start talking short terms like that, especially knowing that you guys are talking, you know, big game hunting for Vladdy come next season, why is he going to take a short-term deal, especially if he got, you know, opt-outs? And they keep saying it's a player opt-out, but there's got to be team options in there somewhere.
Of course.
Where he feels like sooner or later, you know, you're just going to flip script and cut me anyway. So why would he do that? He wants that security.
Val, I am 100, and I haven't brought that point up, but I am 100% in agreement with that in so many different ways. I've been meaning to bring that up, but yeah, I believe that Pete Alonso had a bad season because he felt the pressure. He didn't perform well because he buckled.
He's not Judge. He's not Soto. He's not one of those guys when it comes to that. He did the whole bet on myself thing, and he's not trying to do that again. You know what I'm saying? And that's why he's like all this short-term stuff that people are talking about is probably why he's very, very hesitant to do anything like that because he doesn't want to be going through this again next season. Right. He doesn't want to be going through this two seasons from now. You know what I'm saying?
He wants some security. And let me tell you something. If last year, take away last year's season because it wasn't great. I won't, you know, if 34 home runs and 88 RBIs, yeah. Batting 240, 788 OPS, it's not great. But if you told me that he'd give me a line of 46 home runs, 118 RBIs, bat 217 with an OPS of 821, I would still take that and still pay him $30 million a year. I would take that.
I think people could feel confident he's going to give you a better year than he did last year once he's comfortable. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully start making his way back to what he used to be. But to get to the other things I want to talk to, because I've got two more things I want to bring up as well, too.
Okay.
The next one is, you know, I'm hearing like some of this talk with the whole thing with the – I really thought, like, in the winter meetings this year, the owners were going to sit down and kind of like find a way to curtail some of that stuff that the Dodgers were doing. Because I thought it didn't have anything because of the way it is. We're not talking about cap and how much a player can make. We're just talking about how the player gets his money. And I thought, like, you know, even with the way that they did Snell real quick, I got the feeling that they were even concerned that when the meetings came up and all the owners sat down, that whole thing with this deferred money was going to be something that might have been spoken about. But I guess, it seems like it's not a concern and nobody really cares about it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's going to be up until the next CBA. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everybody's saying that with the CBA. But if it has nothing to do with the players, why can't the owners just talk about it? You know what I'm saying? Again, we're not talking about cap and how much a player makes. We're just talking about how the player gets paid his money. And that has nothing necessarily to do with the Players Association.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the rules and regulations could be updated in the CBA and the deference and whatnot. And you know, in the end, owners are going to do what they want. And when you when you don't have a salary cap in baseball with all these luxury tax, who really cares? You're still going to find a way to go above and beyond if you really want to. And the Dodgers are spending money, and so should other teams.
You mentioned it just now. That's the only thing that makes me think why it didn't come up. Because if enough of the small market teams, like once they, you know, once you heard that they were still counting the money in terms of the salary cap and the luxury tax different to how the Dodgers were actually paying it, I guess the small market teams figure they're getting their luxury tax money regardless, so it doesn't make a difference.
Yep.
The last thing I wanted to get into with you, though, and I'm going to be careful about talking about this, because I noticed since it happened, I haven't heard anything over the airwaves. And maybe I'm in the minority, but, you know, as a working class person who seems to be getting hit by situations like this more and more frequently in my life, every time billionaires have issues and worries, somehow I end up with a pain in my ass. On New Year's Day, I come home, okay? Now, mind you, my anniversary is New Year's Eve. So I spent New Year's Eve with wifey.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. New Year's Day, I spent with wifey, with my adult young lady daughter, my beautiful daughter, and with my sister. And we all went up to Atlantic City, okay? Spent the day, we come back, and I'm telling myself, because I'm gunning coming down 95, I'm like, I get to go home now and cap off my anniversary couple days, and sit down and watch my Knicks. Get inside the house after I park there. If you know anything about living in the Bronx, it takes a minute or two for you to find parking. I'm stressing, trying to make sure I get upstairs and get to my game. Park the car, get upstairs to the house, turn on the game, and I'm looking at this blue screen telling me something about a QR code because Optimum and MSG can't come to terms with something that happened on the contract. Yo, not for nothing, son. That is ridiculous. Again, I say billionaires sit down and have issues between the two of them, and me, the working class person who pays my cable bill, get a pain in my ass. This is happening way too much now. In life in general, and it's absolutely ridiculous. These people need to sit down and figure out how to not be so greedy and make sure that as much as the services that they provide and they're taking money from people to provide them, that those services actually do get provided to people. There's all this nonsense about, well, you can find other ways to watch it. My man, I don't need to find other ways to watch the game. You know, I go through that enough with the whole streaming thing, where this game is exclusively on Apple or Peacock and all of that. This is supposed to be on my, you know, channel 87 if you're up in the Bronx and you got Cablevision. And the ironic thing is, at one point, Optimum and them only became an issue because the Dolans and them sold out to somebody else to sell it. It all belonged to them to begin with. And they had the same issue years ago with the Yankees. This kind of nonsense, man. Like, again, I say, there's got to be something to be done
man. I'll tell you this, and I got to take a break, so I apologize, but good call. And I understand where you're coming from, man. The fans are the ones that they get screwed. That's really what it comes down to. The fans are the ones that get in between this whole situation, and they're the ones that get hurt the most. And it hopefully, whatever happens, they just settle the differences soon and get it back to the fans, because that's really what it's all about. The fans want to watch their games. The fans want to be able to enjoy sit back and relax and watch what they got to watch. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your phones. Victor, Calvin, Steve, Brian. Listen, whatever you want to talk about, Jets, Giants, final game of the season, Pete Alonso contract, Knicks loss, whatever you want, we've touched it all. 888-808-1019, or hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. It's Pete Hoff with you on the Fan. Till 5 when Richard Neer takes over. You can always follow me at Hoff WFAN. And, you know, it's weird. I try to get my wife to join me in the sports world. She's now a baseball mom and turning into a basketball mom now too, because my youngest likes basketball and is playing basketball. So she's watching that and whatnot. She's trying to get into that, I guess. Trying. But she could care less about football. The first time when we started dating, she was like, yeah, you got to teach me football. I was like, sure. So I sat down with her on a Sunday or a Thursday or whatever day it was, and we barely could even watch like the first play. And she got up and walked around. I was like, "Yeah, let's watch Walking Dead instead." I was like, "All right, fine." And you know, that's just kind of how it's gone. Like, I can't get my wife to be locked in on sports, collecting type of things. I have some little mini figures, and she's not a fan. She's like, "Get rid of them." Blah 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 blah. And then I see Emma Roberts, and she's an actress, if anybody knows. She's been in American Horror Story. I liked her from Scream Queens, but she's been in a bunch of stuff. And on social media, she pulls a one-of-one Jackson Holiday card in her collector's box. And like, this is not just like first time got lucky. She does this all the time with her fiance Cody John, I believe. They do box breaks. They do breaks. And they've had other cards in the past too, but this was a one of one Jackson Holiday card. And I just, like, if I told my wife, "Hey babe, let's buy a box for what, $400? And let's just go break them and just open up these cards. Maybe we get lucky. Maybe we get something. Maybe we get a ball skeins." She would, A, kick me out of the house. She would never let me buy the thing. We need to spend money on more things like the kids, obviously. Which is, I try to sell her and be like, maybe one of these cards, if you get the right card, you could pay for like tuition. Right? Don't we want to do that? But yeah, no, that would never slide in my house. We would need a new rug, or we need a new painting in the house before we got one of these collecting boxes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get it. It's so crazy. Like, someone that, like, it always happens to someone that doesn't watch sports. I don't know if Emma Roberts is a sports fan. Like, I don't. I've no
she's
idea.
Clearly she likes the box breaking, because this is not the first time that she's pulled something and shown it off. Right. So
I feel like that would always happen to someone that doesn't care about sports. Like, oh, that's like, I don't know anything about sports, doesn't watch sports, and then like buy something like that just for like, okay, like I'll just buy this, and then that ends up pulling out.
Because I can,
and I have a lot of money, and I'm a famous person. And then just pulls out this like unbelievable car. Like I as soon as I looked it up, I like of course she did.
Of course she did.
Of course she did. And I feel like it always happens to someone who doesn't have that much interest in it and then gets it. But it would never happen to the diehard, like, collects baseball cards, has billions of baseball cards by in their house, and is looking for that card and would take, and is blown thousands and thousands of dollars.
I think she's a sports fan. Like, I see her at, like, I think I saw her at a Knicks game before.
Yeah.
Like, so she seems to be somewhat of a sports fan. Again, and the box breaking has been a thing, because I saw, again, not too long ago, she pulled something out. So they do this.
Yeah.
Unless they're actively just looking for the Paul Skeens card. That could be something too. But regardless, like, I'm just shocked more of the less that she's so into it. My wife is the exact opposite, into absolutely nothing. So I wish that we could. Not saying that I wish I can get someone that would be, you know, I would love my wife to participate in my hobbies a little bit more.
Absolutely. I totally get it.
That's what I would love. Let's go to Victor in Manhattan before we get in trouble. What's up, Victor?
To throw in on that, I never believed in marriage until I met my girlfriend, and she was like the biggest sports fan. So that changed my mind about marriage. That's the only reason I wanted to get married, because she's like a huge sports fan.
Well, that's awesome. See, now, my wife told me up front, she's like, "I'm not really big into sports." She traveled with me a few times. Like, we went to Pittsburgh together. We went to D.C. together to watch a game. So she's traveled with me, and she'll watch a game, but, like, that's not her, like, thing. She prefers to do other things.
Yeah, I gotcha. Before I get to my point, I wanted to – you mentioned the Browns earlier, and you said, oh, the Browns haven't picked a quarterback in decades.
No, they've picked quarterbacks.
They're so incompetent that they actually got a quarterback. They had Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good, and they got rid of him. But yeah. Deshaun Watson.
Well, the
you can't make it up.
The Jets picked the quarterback. They got Sam Darnold, and they chose to move on from him rather than pick him up for that fifth year. or you know, and they let him go. And next thing you know, Zach Wilson is a quarterback for the Jets, and that was terrible.
Yeah, terrible moves. And then I wanted to add, I think this is one of the worst drafts, quarterback class drafts, because they keep talking about how Cam Ward is this great quarterback and Shador Sanders is going to be a great quarterback. I don't see neither one of those two being stars in the NFL. I think, if anything, Jackson Dart is better than both of them. And the kid at Syracuse, McCord, I feel like he's going to make a better pro than these two guys. I think this draft is perfect for, like, if you need an edge rusher or you need a lineman or a cornerback, like from Michigan.
Right.
I think that's what these guys got to go after. I don't think these quarterbacks are worth a first, second, or third pick.
No, I agree. And the problem is, though, and thanks so much for the phone call, Victor. I appreciate it. Problem is that they feel like everyone gets suckered into it. It's just like, you have to do it. There's a quarterback. You don't have a quarterback. You got to get a quarterback. And it doesn't make any sense. I mean, at that point in time, you should trade out. I mean, here's the thing about Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know if they're going to be professional quarterbacks, if they're going to be able to play in the NFL. I honestly don't think they will. I just, from what you've seen, you know, I don't think that they've done anything that puts them over the top and goes, wow, that guy could beat out one of the 32 other starting quarterbacks in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that they can't be taught and learn if they sit. But that doesn't mean that they should be drafted first. That's the problem. If they were drafted later on, if they were drafted in the second or third or fourth round, and you brought them on the team, like, yeah, that could be a Russell Wilson. You just never know. That could be a Brock Purdy. That could be a Lamar Jackson or whatever. That's the point is, I look at these quarterbacks and say, like, it's almost like a running back. When Saquon Barkley is the last time that you see a running back get drafted so high, because you don't need to draft a running back in the first round. You can wait to second, third, fourth round to draft a running back. Okay, well, and I understand the value of a starting quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, it makes the most sense. You need to have a quarterback, right? To be successful, you have to have a good quarterback. But that doesn't mean that you go out there and every year draft whatever's available in the first round and hope you get somebody, because not everyone gets it. Look, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills are lucky. Buffalo Bills are lucky that Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and who else was it? Josh Rosen were all picked before Josh Allen, right? I mean, they got lucky. Josh Rosen, how many snaps has he played in the NFL? How many games has he played? He hasn't played a lot. He's terrible.
Wasn't Lamar in that draft too?
Yeah, he was the draft of 30. He was the last pick of the first round.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Baltimore, like, traded up with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
But yeah. the point is
No, that's a very good draft that year for quarterbacks, and he didn't have to be number one. I mean, you never know. Josh Allen was...
The point is this, is like Josh Allen is a generational quarterback. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, generational. Patrick Mahomes, generational.
Yeah.
But not everybody else is generational. We look at Caleb Williams, it should work out. Really? Are we sure about that? I don't think so. Listen, we got to take a break. 888-808-1019. Kelvin, Steve, Brian, Ronnie, Stewart. We'll get to you guys after the break. 888-808-1019. Pete, off with you on the Fan. Hit me up at HoffWFAM right now. An update, Marco Belletti.